This is WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. Tensions between the U.S. and Russia remain high over the crisis in Ukraine. Leaders of the G7 countries, which includes the U.S., are threatening to intensify sanctions against Moscow if they continue to escalate the situation in Ukraine. Now an unlikely New York entity finds itself squarely in the middle of this international crisis, the Brooklyn Nets. Nets owner Mikhail Prokhorov, a Russian billionaire and aspiring politician, says he's moving ahead with plans to transfer the company that runs the team to Russia. Joining us now to talk about what that could mean for the Nets is Andrew Zimbalist, professor of economics at Smith College. He's an expert in sports economics. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
Let's be clear about what this would entail. It's not like the Brooklyn Nets are moving to Moscow and joining some Russian basketball league, right? This is about the company that owns the team.
That's correct. Presumably, if they were to move lock, stock, and barrel, then the whole front office would move, although I don't think we should anticipate that. If there is ultimately some move, then I would expect it would not be Brett Yormack, the CEO, or Billy King, the GM, moving, but it might be one or two people who would staff a Moscow office. However, the NBA has not yet approved such a move.
This is something Prokhorov said he'd do a year ago, after the Kremlin passed a law that forbids government officials and lawmakers from holding financial instruments or cash in overseas banks. Why does he need to comply with this law? He's not a government official or a legislator.
I think it also stipulates that people running for political office would be affected by the law. And moreover, he is hoping in his future to be an official government office holder.
And what is the genesis of this law? Why did Russian President Vladimir Putin press for this law? What's it designed to do?
I think it's designed primarily to strengthen autonomy and sovereignty of the Russian state. He doesn't want the politicians in Russia to be compromised in any way by having assets abroad and therefore having economic interests abroad.
This law was passed in 2013. Why is Prokhorov making this move now? Did it take all that time to get his ducks in a row? Or is this in reaction to the present situation between the United States and Russia over Crimea?
Well, both. I think it is taking him time to get his ducks in a row. He's had some discussions with the NBA about it, but he has not filed an official application. And politicians, which he is one of, are interested in public relations. And clearly there's a very strong sense of nationalism right now in Russia. And Prokhorov, as a politician, is trying to play into that wave.
Has the National Basketball Association dealt with this situation before? What are the rules about foreign ownership of an NBA team?
Well, they, of course, used to have a team in Vancouver, and they currently have a team in Toronto. The team in Toronto is owned by a Canadian. So in that sense, they've dealt with it, but it's a very different situation because Canadian laws and U.S. laws are more aligned. Moreover, the Toronto team has a front office in Toronto, but they also play basketball in Toronto. So the situation is quite different. And what the NBA will be most concerned with is their ability to continue to enforce NBA rules. So if they were to receive an application from Mr. Prokhorov, they would want to study very carefully Russian laws and make sure that there's nothing in Russian laws that would prevent them from implementing NBA rules.
Can the NBA and Prokhorov come to an agreement that works for both sides?
I think that as long as the NBA can be convinced that there's nothing in Russian laws that would prohibit it or inhibit it from carrying out its own rules, that the NBA would be able to find a compromise in this situation.
Andrew Zimbalist is a professor of economics at Smith College. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
This is WNYC.